Hey, this is Corey.
Hey, this is Brandon, aka Jump Rope Champion on all social media networks.
And this is Jump Rope Jan. Brandon, why don't you introduce our guest today?
Yes, today we have Billy Jackson. He has been my first boss in the sport of jump rope. We've done Cirque Dreams together. We've competed against each other. We've done workshops together. He's definitely given me the other side of the sport of jump rope, which is the art side of jump rope, showing, performance and what jump rope can be shown to people who have never seen jump rope and be impressed and not wear your body out. So here we have Billy Jackson.
Hello, how's it going?
So Billy, why don't you talk a little bit more about yourself and what got you into the sport?
I started jumping when I was 7 years old. So I've been doing it for about 20 years now, which kind of dates me a little bit, but that's okay. I started on a small team in Houghton, Louisiana, as a part of the Louisiana Jazzy Jumpers. And I got put into it as an after-school program because my mom, I think she wanted to get me out of the house. She told me I had too much energy. So she just put me in it. I was just going once, twice a week, and then I kept going to camps and workshops, and then suddenly it became something that I loved, that I fell in love with. I couldn't get enough of it. I couldn't go to enough camps or enough workshops or do enough, school performances or train hard enough at the gym, and I just wanted more and more and more. And then somehow then it became my job at a certain point. After all the competitions and stuff for me started to die down, I wanted to keep jumping because it's been my life for so long that I just was like, why shouldn't we get paid for this? It's a skill that I've had my whole life, and I think we should be out there putting it out into the public and seeing what they think of it.
And how did you meet Brandon?
I met Brandon, at workshops. It's a similar story to how most jumpers meet. Workshops, camps, competitions. Like he said, we competed against each other. He's obviously in a younger age division than me, but once you get to finals, it doesn't matter. But was impressed with, first thing, his speed obviously is impressive to everyone, and then his strength for freestyle. And I noticed it just like everyone else. And when I was casting for Cirque Dreams 1 year, I asked him if he would be interested, and he sent me a video, and then the rest just kind of goes on from there.
And what are your strengths and weaknesses in jumping?
I think my strengths would be that I know what works for me. I've never been the most powerful jumper. I can do, a decent amount of power tricks and things, but I was more of putting interesting combinations together that worked for me and my style. I wanted to put more finesse into it. I have a dance background, so I wanted to add some of that into it as well, because I realized I wasn't going to do well in competition trying to jump like someone else, because I'm not Nick Woodard. I'm not. No one is. But I grew up competing against him. He's from Texas, I'm from Louisiana, so we were right there growing up together. We're the same age, so every competition I was at, he was at. And you can't beat him in his own game, And so I was like, well, how am I going to beat him? Because I still want to. So I wanted to add in, my dance background, because I knew that wasn't a strength that he was going to have. And my presentation, I wanted to show people that the tricks could look good, even if they were still hard. You can make them look good, and even as simple things like pointing your toes or turning your head for a certain move, it just adds a little, pizzazz. Or that's a lame word.
No, pizzazz. But is fun. I'm really wishing that we had our other co-host Ilya Given right now, because she's really big on combining dance with the sport. And she's busy right now practicing with Caitlin Simpson. And the last podcast that we did, Brandon wasn't able to join us, but Ilya was there, and we had on a professional dancer. So I think that if you haven't listened to it already, you should take a listen to the last episode of the podcast, because it's very interesting to hear what the dancer has to say. She's been dancing as a little bit longer, actually, than Brandon, but is the same age as you, Brandon. And, her understanding of your sport, it came through with that Disney movie that you were in, Jump In.
Oh, jump in. That's that. Well, I know that movie because I also was in it. It
Yeah.
was one of my first professional jobs. I was 16, maybe 17.
Did you know Brandon at the same time then?
I don't know if I knew Brandon at the same time because I was still a little. I was, starting to come up in competition. Like I said, I was. So I don't. I'm not sure of our age difference, but I know it's. I'm not sure.
Well, then I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that you, since you've listened to some of the other podcasts, you probably know the question, but would you be willing to come on when we actually do the video recording of that jump in game where we try to find Brandon and maybe we could try to find you in the movie as well?
Yeah, of course. I'd be impressed if anyone could find me. I look a little bit different, but if you look, you'll find me. But yeah, that would be really fun to do.
Good. Brandon,
I haven't seen that.
do you have any questions for Billy?
Yes, I definitely have a lot of questions for Billy. We've worked Circ Dreams together. He's been my boss at Circ Dreams. It's been, I would say, a year or so since I've actually worked for Circ Dreams. So I was wondering what the progress is of Circ Dreams on as far as, branching out into doing cruise lines, because I know Circ Dreams is on cruise lines. So I was wondering if you guys have actually performed on a cruise ship yet.
Well, as far as the progress of Circ Dreams goes, that I mean, they're their own company, and I can't really speak about their progress because it's not mine. But as far as jump rope within Circ Dreams or different types of, circus companies or production companies and performances, we're just always trying to put ourselves out there. I'm a part of Flight Crew Jump Rope, who people may have seen on America's Got Talent and different shows, and performances and things like that. So we're always trying to, like I said, put ourselves out there. Audition videos, sending tapes out, doing performances out. We haven't jumped on a cruise ship yet, but we've definitely sent out some videos to different cruise lines and see where it goes. Jump rope within Circ Dreams is sort of I've started there with Lee Reisig, who's the owner and creator of Flight Crew Jump Rope. We started with a duo act about 8 years ago now, and it was just the two of us, and it grew into a four-person act, and then they asked us if we could then choreograph, another jump rope act with four people that we weren't in that could be out on another tour opposite us. So the role of our role within Circ Dreams, and especially mine within the company, has grown a lot over the past 8 years to where I'm able to choreograph now and really give jumpers the opportunity to who may not know how to start, professionally in jump rope. Give them a chance to show them what it's like, and make a little money because you've been doing it for so long,
Right.
and you're essentially people are professionals at it by the time they're 17, 18 years old. So once they get old enough, if people want the opportunity, I'm always happy to show people, try and give them an opportunity if I can.
Well, we've got a question that we have been asking every guest now, and I don't think that we've asked you yet. So, what do you think jumping should be called? Or being a jumper? Are you a jumper or are you a skipper?
Oh, I'm definitely a jumper. And it just depends on where you're from. Well, it's mostly anywhere else but the US they're going to call it skipping, I think. And that kind of goes with I mean, the U.S. is pretty stubborn just in general as a country, and we want everything
To be named the way that we want it to be named.
to be named it. But no, I'm a jump roper. I don't particularly like skipping because I know growing up for me and most people, especially guys, middle school could be a hard time. People and if I think it would have been made worse if we had called it skipping.
Skipping, yep. Brandon, what do you think about that?
I definitely agree. I think it's definitely a stereotype when you're a kid, with your friends learning that you jump rope or you're a rope skipper, and there's definitely the stereotype of he's not tough, he's too girly because he jumps rope or he rope skips. So I think jump rope would sound more masculine than rope skipper, because it just seems like skipping is like something you do at a playground. You're just skipping around and stuff like that, to me, personally. So I just feel as though it should be named Jump Roper.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. It's just, like, it just depends on where you're from.
Yep.
They probably think we're crazy because we want to call it Jump Rope. So I think that's one of those things. It's just, it's going to be what it's going to be.
What's your favorite kind of dance, Billy?
My favorite kind of dance? I grew up, I started as a tapper, and I did jazz, but I really started to grow into, I love hip-hop mixed with jazz. Basically, I love what you see in, like, the music videos and things like that.
What do you like to combine with jumping?
The jump rope, I really like to combine hip-hop with it. I think it has some of the same, because if you look at a lot of the power and strength moves we're doing, and then compare those to what b-boys are doing, they're pretty similar. And a lot of the moves are exactly the same. It's just you start turning a rope under it, and it's a completely different thing that people have never seen before. So that's definitely a part of, you know, pop culture that I like to incorporate into jump rope and see what we can do with that, because I think it's really different and not many people are doing it. So the Japanese have a lot of hip-hop in there. And their double dutch skills, and I love to see what they're doing with the different fusions and things like that. So.
Can you talk a little bit more about fusion itself? Do you know the history behind it, and can you maybe talk about, you just said, you know, the Japanese are pretty big in it, but any other countries that you know that...
I mean, as far as I know, fusion kind of started in Japan, as far as I know. I mean, I could be wrong, and someone could call me out on it, but that's fine.
It's okay.
You heard it here first. If Billy's wrong, chew him out on social media.
It's not the first time. But as far as I know, it started in Japan, that style of jumping. And they, I think, definitely are the masters of it. They seem to have a concept of and a way of doing it that no one else has really grasped onto yet. But here, Double Dutch itself kind of came out of New York City, I think.
Yeah, it did.
And then there's that street style of jumping, which they have a competition at the Apollo every year.
Were you there this year?
No, I've never actually attended the Apollo competition. I would love to. But I think even the Japanese go and kind of dominate that. that's just a different style of jumping. There's not really a whole lot of single rope involved. It's more dance.
Mm-hmm. Choreographed
to the music, and it's a different feel. It's not as technical, I think.
More loose.
Technical looking. It's more loose. It's very technical into the music, but it's not. So
to the audience, it looks more,
It's more audience.
It's more playful, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure. Which I love it. I think it's my favorite to watch. I think it's the easiest for an audience to watch, because for a person who's never seen jump rope, if they go to a jump rope competition, they're going to be amazed at what they see with all the amazing tricks and how high people jump and how many times it's going under and the flips and all these things. Mm-hmm. But they're not seeing the difference, they're not knowing the difference between tricks, they're not able to differentiate, you know, the different sections of stuff.
But do you see that as being the way to let in more mainstream audience into jump rope?
I do.
Fusion?
I do. I really believe that that's a way to introduce people to jump rope. Because people aren't going to watch something they don't think is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And jump, like, competitive jump rope is very technical, and it's very hard to do.
Yeah.
It's not always. I mean, it can be great if you have an amazing jumper, then it's great to watch. But to have someone sit through a competition all day is, I mean, they can be a bit boring. I'll be honest. I love the sport. I love my sport very much, but sometimes it's a long day of competition. Or three days, you know, but I think to have something that an audience can look at and, you know, bop their head to the music and clap along to, and have the competitors acknowledging the audience, which is something rare in competitive jump rope, because you're doing it for the judges. You want the judges to see what you're doing, you're not so much doing it for the audience. It's great that the crowd loves you, but you want those judges to see you first and foremost. So for fusion being made for the audience, I think it's perfect to introduce people to jump rope that way.
Nice. Well, I guess I'll be the first person, you know, to, I guess, chew you out on social media, because fusion was definitely, you know, originated from United States, is from New York. Warren Walker and, you know, Paul Walker, the founder of Double Dutch, definitely invented the sport of fusion and brought it to the Japanese. But I definitely agree with you in saying that the Japanese definitely dominate fusion. You know, they practice it all year round. It's what they practice. It's what they know. Mm-hmm. They are really good at jump rope. There's definitely other countries. You know, Belgium does fusion. France does fusion. So there's definitely other countries that have caught on to fusion. But fusion has definitely been originated from the United States. And hopefully, you know, the United States can bring it back. To you know, bring the trophy back to themselves.
Yes, I would love that. I love seeing Hot Dog USA, what they're doing, the LJ Lebecki and Nick Woodard and their team. They're doing some great fusion these days, and I love watching them and those guys get out there and really give the rest of the world a run for their money as far as it goes.
I think you would definitely you know, shine in the fusion game. You know, with your choreography, you've been doing choreography. You know, to me, the longest in the technical side of jump rope. So I think you would excel really great in doing a fusion, you know, with flight crew or, you know, whoever you decide to jump with, you know. But as far as competing, I was wondering, you know, it's been a long time since you've been back in the competing game, and I was wondering when you would ever decide to come back to the sport of jump rope, you know?
Oh, no. It has been a while. It's been a minute. I've thought about coming back, but I wouldn't want to come back unless I thought I was on par with what everyone is doing, because I respect the sport so much, and I could come back and do it for fun, and I think it would be fun for me. I would be happy to be there and everything like that, but if I came back, I would want to win, because it's
That's
a competition.
True.
I grew up winning and wanting to win, and then eventually, you know, able to get there.
Well, share some of your stats with us, if you don't mind.
I won my first Grand National Championship. I won in 2008 with my partner, Chad Rankin, single rope pairs freestyle, which is still one of the best moments of my life, because we worked so hard, specifically in that event, for years and years. And, you know, we would hear all the time from people, you guys, you know, you have the top routine this year. We would, you know, place really well in prelims, and then we'd get to finals and just, well, not win. because by no one's fault but ours, we would just either freeze up or just mess up we could just never seem to get there. So when we finally did, it was actually the very last time we were going to be jumping together, because I was moving away to Boise immediately following Nationals that year. So the very last time that we ever jumped together after 10, 11 years, we finally got that trophy, and it was each of our first ones, and it was just one of the best moments of my life. And yeah, when you work that hard for something, there's no greater feeling to me.
So is that the only championship that you've actually achieved?
No, I went on to win a few others. I won, in total, I've won 7 Grand National Championships, a few of those being team shows. But I won male single rope freestyle in 2010 and 2011. And like I said, that was the last time I competed. So if I came back, I don't want to go out on top and then come back, you know, not looking good. So I definitely want to brush up on some of the stuff that people are doing and, make sure I could at least hold a candle to what everyone else is doing.
That is definitely true, because people just don't understand the work ethic and the competitiveness that goes into competing at a national championship. You know, to me, it's so difficult, because there are so many jumpers in the sport of jump rope. You're not given a championship. You have to work hard for it. You're mm-hmm. basically competing all year round just for one competition. It just seems like there's more jumpers than people who actually watch the competition itself in the competition. So it's just something that is not given to you. You have to work hard for it, and it's just mind-blowing how difficult a competition can be. I mean, I've never, you know, competed at any other competitions. I've never done any other sport. I mean, I played basketball before. But as far as actually competing and preparing for a competition, you know, getting your freestyle ready, making sure that you have no mistakes, you know, in your routine is just something I haven't, you know, perfected, you know, in my jump rope career. But I understand the difficultness of competing for a competition. So I would say, what would be your opinion on the next generation that's coming up now?
My opinion on the people, what I'm seeing in competition now. Well, one thing I want to say, just throw back or comment on what you said, is training for a competition isn't just getting your routine ready. You have to work on your nerves. You have to be able to handle the stress of the competition. It's not, most people show up with their routines ready to go and, you know, think they're great. But once you get there, it's a different story. So I think you have to really prepare yourself that it's just you out there on the floor and you're in front of a table of judges, and it's not your team in the gym. It's not just you and your coach. It's those judges are looking at you. They don't smile. They don't, you know, they don't, you know, give you any clue as to how you did on your routine or what they thought about it. So that's a whole, it's a whole nother level added once you actually get to the competition, I think, that people should think about when they're going into it. But as far as what I think of what's going on now, I love what I'm seeing. Some of the stuff that people are creating is, you know, beyond, you know, my comprehension. Sometimes I look at it and just don't understand the first time I see it, or I understand it, but I'm just like, wow, how creative is this guy or this girl that they came up with this, you know, interesting combo of skills and that they put together. And
how about giving a shout out to some of the newer jumpers that you know, have seen recently that did some of these things that, you know, inspired you or made you go, wow?
Yeah, I am a fan of Adam Jernberg. He does some really creative things with his rope, rope manipulation wise as well. And I've noticed that he's starting to step up his strength moves and power, which I think is important. But I just think he's very creative in what he does, and he moves through it so effortlessly. And I'm a fan of what he does for sure.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the future of the sport? Where do you see it going?
I mean, I hope it continues growing, more people competing, more people seeing it. I want people have to see how great it is, and I hope it keeps, you know, creating more quote unquote famous jump ropers within the jump rope community, so that those people will, you know, keep putting the sport out there, as, you know, in different platforms. I know you guys spoke when you're speaking to Nick about how he was on the sports channels with his routine from a world. I think that's great, and I grew up competing with Nick, so I love seeing his success, and everyone that I grew up jumping with, I love seeing what they're doing and continuing with the sport. It seems is my generation of jumpers has really wanted to stick with it, and even if we're not all, you know, competing, but we're, you know, trying to perform or just put it out there. I'm just really proud of, like, the people I grew up with in this sport, just because I love seeing that they're still in it.
It seems like you guys are paying it forward for the next generation. You're trying to build up a platform for younger jumpers to be able to make it into a career.
Yeah, well, I mean, we worked our whole lives to do this, just like, you know, people are doing. There's people in the gym right now, like you said, Caitlin, they're in the gym right now training. So there needs to be opportunity out there, and there has to be people who are out there willing to give it to them. And if we can be that, or we create opportunities for ourselves and then can pass it down for others, I don't think there's anything better I could do with my knowledge or, you know, skills as far as jump rope goes. By giving opportunities to other people, and of course, love. But I'm not going to be able to do this forever. So,
well, that's why it's important to create those opportunities, because
Not
everybody will be able to compete forever. Not everybody will be able to perform, even, you know, not in a competition kind of setting. But competitive kind of setting, but you know, if you're able to, you know, be involved in some form of fashion, whether it be announcing or just coaching, why not make that for the sport and for everybody else?
Yeah, of course. And like I said, I'm so proud of like what my friends are doing, and either with me or what I'm watching them do. It's just awesome to see that happening. I really love it.
So, you know, I've definitely grew up, you know, watching you. I've definitely believed that you are the generation, you know, above me. And I've definitely seen your creative side and your pizzazz, you know, that you bring to the jump rope table. Me personally, I feel as though you may have the best split as a boy in the sport of jump rope.
Is this true?
I don't know if I have the best split, but I definitely think do them a lot more than most boys do. That was part of what I noticed, you know, growing up when I was kind of creating my own style. I had started gymnastics pretty young and dance, and so I was flexible enough to do the splits. And once I realized I could do them into different way, like maybe not just a normal split, but it starts with push-up split, frog split, back handspring split, you know, all these other flips into splits, I just kind of went crazy with it and started doing them.
Did that get you a lot of points?
First episode that I was on of it. I don't know if it gets you a lot of, I mean, technically it's just a strength move, just as like a push-up would be, but in combination, but I think presentation-wise it goes, I think it got me some points, and it was something I kind of became known for.
You were
for.
Saying about an episode that you were...
The very first episode of America's Best Dance Crew, I was on with Saltare, season 5, and we were doing jump rope and trying to combine it with dancing on this national television show on MTV, and we go out and I did one split in the routine, and JC Shazay from NSYNC, I don't know if anyone's gonna remember who that is, but
I'm of that age group.
Okay, and he was one of the judges, and he said Billy's over there doing man splits, and then that was on national television. So the next day there were Facebook pages, Billy Jackson's man splits, and you know,
well, we're gonna bring it back, hashtag yeah. Billy's man splits.
I'm doing
that right now.
Yeah, so I think part of that came from, you know, being on that show and having that, you know, put out there in such a public forum. So it's been funny, but yeah, I'm still able to do the splits. I'm not letting go of those anytime soon.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know if I do the best ones. I just think a lot of people have seen me do them and they know I like doing them. So, best, I don't know, but but I do enjoy them.
Yeah, they're definitely great to watch.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe
I think,
you could share some of those videos with us so that way we can.
Yeah, for sure. I'll send you some links of them
and some photos actually for the website.
Yeah, no problem.
Sorry, nice. Brandon, you wanted to say something. I interrupted.
Yeah, I mean, I feel as though, you know, if Nick Wood is listening, he would definitely disagree with who has the best split as a boy. But, you know, I definitely think you have that title as far as, you know, just dropping down to a split, getting up from a split.
Well,
it's just
so many
things.
Good competition that we might need to set up.
It's a lot of guys in jump rope can get down into the splits, but it's about, you got to get back up. It's harder to get back up. And yeah, I love Nick, but I don't think Nick's going to step to me on the split.
Yeah.
Well, we should try to fund this kind of competition. Maybe we should get people together and we'll place bets and whatnot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, so, I mean, we can definitely, you know, go back and forth of competitions. There's so many different competitions that can be done within this water jump rope that haven't been done before because there's so many things that can be done with jump rope. But, you know, let's get into the art side of it, the professional side that to me is just not really known to even jumpers who compete and are, you know, just coming out. You know, definitely give them the aspect of being a professional jumper, you know, jumping with flight crew and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. It's I'm going to start off by saying you don't jump rope as much as you think you would being a professional jump roper. you do a lot of traveling. You do a lot of rehearsing for one performance, and then you're done. And the shows, you know, are sometimes not very long. So you don't. it's funny. So you don't get to jump as much as you used to. But what's great about it is that you get to do it for audiences who maybe would have never seen jump rope before. But there's the added pressure of you're coming in as a professional. People are, you're there and people are going to pay you through this performance. So you have to show up and you have to, you know, be on your game. It's,
were you ever
can be very
not on your game?
I hope not. But I mean, there are definitely some times we've had to show up the night before a performance. We get flown in, get to the hotel, rehearse that night in the parking lot of the hotel, do the performance the next day. So you have to be willing to put in the work for it, and you have to be flexible, really flexible, working with others, because it could be I could be jumping with, you know, Lee Reisig and Lisa Brown one weekend, and then the next weekend I'm jumping with LJ LaVecchia and Mike Cook in a different side of the, you know, country. And it's like, those are just flight crew members, for anyone who wants to look them up. If you don't know who they are, they're great. But
nice shout out.
Yeah, they and we have kind of a basis of like a layout of a like set that we like to do, but it's going to be different because you know someone's not going to do the same part I did or have the same solo, so it's got to be a little bit different.
And you guys need to trust each other too.
Yeah, you definitely have to trust each other, and it can get a bit intense sometimes because everyone has opinions and everyone does know a lot about the sport, and so you have to be willing to just take a step back. Realize that everyone's just trying to help, because sometimes, you know, we get into it a little bit. We spend a lot of time around each other.
Are you guys like a family now?
Oh, for sure. Lee and I lived together for a few years. We were roommates. Mm-hmm. And we traveled together, and we saw a lot of each other for a few years. But yeah, it's just it really is like a family. We get on each other's nerves for sure, and I know I get on their nerves. It's not just
but when it comes down to it, you guys.
Yeah, you have to realize you're there for a job, and you have to get the job done. And they don't care if one person wanted to do a crisscross and the other person wanted to do a double under. Those people in the audience don't care. The client doesn't care. You just all have to get out there, put on the best show you can, entertain the people, and impress the client. And that's really all it comes down to. And it's a bit shocking when you first start, I think, doing it professionally. Yeah, because noticed...
Just the key like highlights of what you noticed.
It's, well, when I first started it, we were trying to do the hardest tricks all the time because that's what we grew up doing. But people don't respond to that. People, because they don't understand it. Mm-hmm. So people are going to respond to you jumping on your butt before they respond to, you know, a quintuple under. Mm-hmm. So you have to take the time to realize what is an audience like, what they like to see. And then that kind of makes you, for a second, feel like you're not doing your best work. But you are. If you're entertaining the audience, you're doing your job completely. You may not be doing your favorite, most hardest tricks, which actually we found out is really hard to do night after night. Sometimes two times a day you have to do these performances. And if you put in your hardest tricks that you're used to doing, you know, once, twice, you know, in a routine, it's not going to be good for your body over the length of a month or, you know, months of touring.
Interesting, you know, when you're doing something that you love and realizing that there's a difference between what makes you happy or made you happy initially to when you're dealing with an audience or, you know, a group of people that you have to please, and it's a totally different. It's a PR basically.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you have to represent what you do, and we jump rope. So, but we don't want to show them a bunch of stuff they don't get.
Right. Or appreciate.
Yeah. So
that's true.
Like we put a lot into presentation and engaging the audience. Much like that's why I think fusion is so great. Like I said, because it engages the audience. you're looking at them in the eye, you're getting them to clap along, you're, you know, performing to songs that they know, or really getting them engaged in the performance. And that in turn, some, it does, for me, it makes up for not being able to do my hardest tricks, because I'm getting that feedback from the audience. And there, it's a great feeling when you finish a performance and people stand up or they clap for you, and they look and see something they've never seen before and can appreciate it, because you've just done it in a way that's pleasing to look at, entertaining, and fun.
Talking about the music, I don't know if you know that we've been trying to push forward on offering copyright-free music on the website for, you know, to incorporate in YouTube videos, because, I mean, actually, funnily enough, Brandon had sent out an email, and he CC'd me on it, and he, Brandon, you had sent out two YouTube videos that you were communicating with somebody with, trying to show, you know, show your work, and one of them already got flagged for music that he was using. So we're trying to, so we're trying to provide a, you know, a way that you guys can use music and know for a fact that, you know, your videos won't get flagged. Do you have any indie musicians that you know that we might be able to reach out to or might be interested?
I actually have no idea. I know a lot of singers, but I don't.
and songwriters
here in New York, but I don't know of anyone who's producing music or that I know of. I mean, it's something I could look into, but I think that's a great idea. Just to be able to put content out there with, you know, interesting songs, and
yeah, we're calling it Jump Rope Jams. And
and
it's offered for free, but it's only offered to those who sign up for the Jump Rope Jam website at the account. But it is a free account, so
I think that's a really cool idea. Nice. I like that.
So Brandon, do you have anything else that you want to bring up, or Billy, do you have any questions for either Brandon or I?
I actually have a question for you, Corey. How did you get started with this, or how did you two meet, or what? How did this podcast come about?
Okay.
I'm curious.
It's you know what? I've been talking about it enough that I could summarize it. This past summer, all right. So I'm a teacher during the day, but I'm also, I started up my own company this past summer and released my first iPhone game, and it was called Jump Fuzzy Jump, and it was the at the time it was the only jump rope game for the iPhone. So because of that, that's how I found the community. I posted the game on Instagram, and obviously through the hashtags, the community reached out to me, and then Brandon reached out to me, asked me if I would be interested in making a more realistic version of the game, because it was very cartoony, and we both realized through conversation that we both saw the same thing with the sport, that it was stuck in this hobby sport kind of setting. And I had fallen already in love with the visuals of the sport, because We Jump Rope was actually the first community from the community to reach out to me. So seeing what they did and then seeing what everybody else was doing, I just saw a lot of the things that Brandon had already seen, and we realized that we both agreed on how we could provide a platform for the sport and for jumpers in general. And then from there, it just, this was one of the ideas that I had to push the sport forward and to unify the community itself. So
nice. I love that. No, I love the whole idea of it. I think it's great.
Thanks. when did you start actually, because I know that you reached out to me through the Instagram feed, but when did you start noticing the brand, I guess?
I saw it. You had an episode with Maddie D'Angelo, I believe.
Yes.
And I, well, you, she was from Summer Wind Skipper.
Yes, Summer Wind Skipper.
I have known her since she was very young. And so I saw that what she was doing, and I listened to a little bit of that and some of the other episodes, because I love listening to podcasts when I fly, and I fly frequently. So I was like, well, this one's about jump rope. It's perfect. So yeah, so the episode that Maddie was on,
I started to listen
to that.
You know what? I think that the big thing that we would love to get is that we've been getting a lot of feedback, which is great. I've been loving it. Brandon has been loving it. I know Ilya has been appreciating it too. The funny thing, though, is that, you know, we're getting feedback from you guys. Like, we had somebody respond to us on Instagram as well, and through Facebook. But none of you guys, I'm talking to the listeners now, none of you guys are going out there and what you write to us, we love hearing it from you directly. But please, please, to help us out, put whatever you write in a review on iTunes, because the more reviews we get, the more mainstream audience we can get. And through that, the more audience we get, then the more of a chance that we can have advertising money. And then we don't need to constantly ask you guys to go onto Patreon or do anything else to keep this a free podcast. And I apologize for turning that into a pitch, but I couldn't see an easier opening than that.
Right. No, for sure. It's everyone should definitely
it's okay,
be contributing.
Yeah.
Enough of that. Let's we've been on for almost an hour. It's like 42 minutes now, and if you guys don't have anything else, maybe Billy, you can, you know, give a little bit of a shout out about and also promote yourself and your team.
So for anyone like we said earlier, I'm a part of Fly Crew Jump Rope, and we're out there, you know, pushing and promoting jump rope in different ways. We have a workshop coming up that if you go to flycrewjumprope.com, you can see all that information. It's a different style of workshop. You're not going to go and just learn tricks. You're going to learn about performance jump rope. And you're going to learn how to take what you can already do and how to put it in front of an audience. And there's a showcase at the end where you learn from Fly Crew Jump Rope, from all of us, you learn a different routine and a different style. So we had a hip hop number last year. I choreographed a lyrical number, which I thought was really fun and interesting.
Where are the workshops held?
The workshop is held in Columbus, Ohio. And the date, we just put up the dates. I actually forgot them, so this is a bad plug.
No, but you know what? We'll when we do your spotlight and when we do the episode release next Monday, you'll just send us the information and we'll put it on the website.
Yeah, for sure. And then obviously you can buy ropes at flycrewjumprope.com, hats, merchandise, all these things. And then hopefully we can put up some of your stuff on our website as well to help kind of cross-promote.
Well, nice. Yeah.
We'll
talk more later about that. We have some ideas.
Yeah. But yeah. So, and just keep, you know, watching and supporting jump rope. I love to do.
Where can the listeners find you if they already don't know where you are?
I'm on Instagram as Billy Jump Rope, and then Facebook is Billy Jackson. I don't know how else to.
No, that's fine.
Billy. Yeah.
There's no at or anything like that.
Yeah, no, I don't have a Twitter or anything. I have a Twitter, but I'm horrible at it.
No, that's fine. I don't mainly Instagram is where they should find it.
Yeah, okay. I like to post, clips of different videos and songs that I like, and with Jump Rope incorporated into it. So I think they're fun. So if you like that kind of stuff, go check it out.
Nice. Thank you. And it was great to have you on.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Brandon, do you have any last things that you want to talk about? Or?
Nope, that is all. So remember, jump rope is a sport. See you later.